In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello and welcome to this day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. I am Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you. Excited today because why? Today's Wednesday. That means it is Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're going to break open God's Word in the Scriptures. And today, we're going to take a look at the readings for this Sunday, the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B. So what does that mean? Let's take a look at that for a second. Sometimes when you see in your in the bulletin where they advertise the readings for the week, or in the missal, the missalette, it says, year A, year B, year C. What is that? So the Gospels are broken down into a three-year cycle. All right. So Matthew is year A, Mark is year B, Luke is year C. Right. And so for the most part, obviously there's exceptions during the during Advent and Lent and Easter and things like that. But for the most part, the Gospels are taken from one of those three evangelists during Matthew is A, Mark is B, and Luke is C. And John is spread out through Easter, the Easter season, and throughout the other parts of the year as well. And so this weekend, the readings are from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35, and also a great section from chapter 3 in Genesis. We're going to just take a look at that today to prepare you, to your hearts, to receive the word more fully, to receive our Lord who feeds us with his words of life in the sacred scriptures, that prepares our minds, our hearts, and our souls to then receive him again, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And that's why we do these Word of God Wednesdays, to engage you more deeply into God's Word, so that when you hear that Word in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, your mind's not just wandering, you're not just not paying attention, you actually hear God speaking to your life, to your situation, to your needs, to your heart. Right? That's why we do these Word of God Wednesdays. So grab your Bibles. We're looking at the readings for this weekend, 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time, from Genesis and also from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Would love to hear your thoughts, because there's some great topics we're covering on here too. Genesis chapter 3 is one of my favorite sections. Of course, includes the Proto-Evangelium, or the first gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. We'll talk about that today. We'll also take a look at the gospel, where Jesus, there's a couple different things, right? There's the one that's the Pharisees, the scribes accuse Jesus of casting out. He's possessed by Beelzebub, which is a demon. He's the prince of demons. That's how he drives out demons. And Jesus, kinds of calls out their contradiction. A house that's divided cannot stand. So how can Satan throw out Satan? And then we talk about whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, the unforgivable sin. We're going to talk about that, what he means when he says that. We're also going to take a look at when Jesus and his mothers and his brothers arrived, and Jesus, your mothers and brothers are, and people will say, well, that he means, you see, Jesus wasn't, Mary had other children. And so we'll take a look at that too, because people always ask that when this reading comes along in the cycle. So that's what we're going to do today on Beacon of Truth. And again, love to have you with us. If you want to give us a call to share your thoughts on the readings for this weekend, for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can also email us, beacon@ewtn.com, or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. then text us your first name and your brief message. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And just want to mention quickly that the Soulful Psalms, which is the second section of the show where we break open God's Word in the Psalms, because that's why Word of God Wednesday is particularly special. We break open God's Word in the Old or New Testament. This weekend, obviously, we're focusing on the readings for Mass, but also every day we break open the Word of God in the Psalms, right? And so that section is its own podcast. That's right. It's called the Soulful Psalms Podcast. So go to my first choice, EWTN app or EWTN Podcast Central to listen to that podcast every day. Or you can go to Apple Music or iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud and whatever your favorite podcast medium is and download that podcast. So you can listen to the Soulful Psalms every day. Also, I'm going to be going back out on the circuit again, back from my wonderful time with my wife on our 30th anniversary trip, and now it's time to get back to work, back in the saddle again. I'll be heading to Maryland next week. I actually have two different parishes. Going to be the first, the end of this week and into the weekend. I'm going to be in Hydes, Maryland, and then on to Bryantown, Maryland. Through next Tuesday. So for the next several days, and so I'll be in Maryland. So if you're in that area, take a look at my schedule. Go to deaconharold.com, my new kind of revamped website. We did some updates and some changes, made things a little bit easier to navigate, brightened things up, made things cleaner. So I'm really happy with the way it turned out. Just go to schedule, deaconharold.com, click on schedule, and see where I'm going to be. Come out and see me. Would love to. I always love meeting members of the EWTN family. Next year will be my 20th year being with being on the network. I don't really plan on doing anything special to celebrate, except just continue to be faithful to what Mother Angelica started. Despite what all the different things that's going on, just today I was speaking with someone. Why did the Pope say this, and why did this happen? It's like, banging my head against the wall again, right? But despite all of that, we gotta stay faithful to the tradition that we've received, to the teachings of the Church. And so, that's what Mother Angelica started EWTN, to bring souls into deep intimacy with Christ. And that's what we're trying to do to continue the work that she started. So glad to be part of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And I am proud to say I'm an EWTN Catholic. Some people won't have me speak because I'm on EWTN. And that's not a joke. I mean, people have told me, I want you to come to my parish, but my pastor said no because you're a quote-unquote EWTN Catholic. Well, that's a badge I wear with honor. I'm glad to be associated with Mother Angelica and all the wonderful people at EWTN, the friars, the sisters, the executive staff there, everyone there is really trying to. And like today's the feast of Saint Boniface. In the Liturgy of the Hour, Saint Boniface there was a reading from one of his letters. He talked about this, keeping the ship on course, right? How the church, how the bishops and the leaders of the church keep the church on course, no matter all the storms and the winds that's going on around us. The ship keeps moving forward and keeps moving steadily through the storms. That's what EWTN does so very well. And also going to be doing some pilgrimages as well. Very excited about that. And I'm going to try and get some of the friars to come with me. That'd be awesome. Some friars partner with me on some of these incredible pilgrimages. The first one's going to be this December, December 6th through the 16th. We're going to do the Great Saints of Italy. So we're going to go to Rome, of course, all the saints there, St. Mary Major, St. Paul, St. Peter, St. John Paul II. Then we're going to go to Petra de Siena, St. Padre Pio, and Carlos Acutis in Assisi. We're going to go to see the footprint of St. Michael the Archangel. That's right. We're going to go to Assisi, Siena, Florence, Padua, Venice. You know, so I'd love for you to join me on that incredible journey of faith to Italy. Again, that's December 6th through the 16th. Just go to my website, deaconharold.com, click on the pilgrimage tab, and you'll scroll down. You'll see all the pilgrimages. That's the one for this year. And there's some amazing, truly amazing pilgrimage opportunities for next year as well. So take a look at that. Again, would love to have some EW10 folks with us as well. Well, we got some great folks. Speaking of EW10 staff, we have some great folks behind the scenes bringing you this show every single day. We have Charles Beery doing social media, Matt Kabinski. And when we come back, we'll check in with my producer extraordinaire, Ace McKay. Ace!
I got to say, You and the Friars is a reality show waiting to happen. I'm just going to put that out there for the powers that be to make that happen.
I love it. We're breaking open the Word of God today on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986.
Clear, 90 seconds.
All right.
So when do you fly out?
Morning. Tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
6 a.m. flight. So I'll get to Baltimore about just before 5, and then get to the parish, and then Friday get set up for the show. Then break all the stuff down, bring it to the next parish, get that set up Monday, Tuesday. And I should be back Wednesday to do the show live. That's why I didn't put anything taped for Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
So I think I get back about the same time that Colleen and I got back. And I'm not going to turn my computer off this time. I'm just going to just leave it on.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Let's see. I get back at 10:30. Perfect. So if everything's on time, I'll be back in plenty of time for the show on Wednesday.
Sweet. All right. Stand by.
Yeah.
That little break in there.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Nothing's more fun when you see a band play and they all know where the stops are, and then it's just, you know, I don't know.
That's it. Yeah. I could get into this, man.
I'm
I like
telling
this.
You. We're putting the band together. It's coming.
That's it. We're jamming. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you are listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, today is Wednesday. That means it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're taking a look at the readings for this Sunday. So you'll hear these readings when you go to Mass this Sunday for the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. All right. So that's the season, you know, that we're in right now. Again, it falls in between. There's two sects of ordinary time, after Christmas and before Lent, and then after Easter to the end of the year when Advent starts again. So long stretch of time. And so we're going to take a look at Genesis and also Mark's gospel today. You want to be with us, would love to hear from you. Always love hearing from the members of the EWTN and the Beacon of Truth family, 833-288-3986. Or send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Again, the show is brought to you by some great folks, Matt Kabinski, Charles Beery, and our producer, Ace McKay.
Well, of course, for our friends listening to Guadalupe Radio Network, we want to, of course, encourage you. Their summer share-a-thon starts Tuesday. Make sure that while you're listening, that you're making your best gift of support. 45-plus stations, including Texas, Kansas, Alabama, Florida, you name it. Just remember, wherever you are, support EWTN Catholic Radio.
All right. You always hear some great music on Beacon of Truth. And when you hear that music, that means it is time to break God's word open in the Psalms. And today, we're taking a look at Psalm 142. So obviously that's in book 5 of the Psalms, 107 to 150. And we're looking at Psalm 142 today, written by David. Again, as I mentioned the other day, David is the only psalmist who has psalms in all 5 books of the Psalms. So, which makes sense. David is the forerunner of Christ. And David wrote most of the psalms and actually did a lot of the music for them as well. The ones he didn't assign to the musical guild of the Jewish temple. So we're taking a look at Psalm 142. Now, this psalm is typically prayed Sunday of evening prayer, or the what we call First Vesper. So Saturday evening going into Sunday, we have what's called First Vespers. And so this is one of the psalms that's prayed during there. And it starts off, the first verse is the prescript. It says, a maskil. That means, again, we don't know what these words meant at the time that they were used when the Psalms were written. But today, maskil means like enlightenment. So basically, a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer, right? So why was David in the cave? Remember, this was during the time when David was escaping persecution from Saul. Now, remember, Saul got jealous of David because David was very victorious in his wars, and the women were singing, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And Saul got jealous and tried to pursue and kill David. And so at one point, David was hiding out in a cave. And we see from the prescript that during that time, this is when he wrote this psalm. With all my voice, I cry to the Lord. With all my voice, I entreat the Lord. Right? So when he means his voice, he's not just meaning vocally. Also with that interior voice, with his heart. He's crying out to God, maybe orally with his voice, but particularly with his heart. Crying out with that inner voice, that voice that only God can hear when we speak to him in prayer. Right? I pour out my trouble before him. I tell him all my distress while my spirit faints within me. But you, O Lord, know my path. Right? So wonderful lesson here. What's David doing? David is hiding in this cave. He's running from persecution. He's crying out to the Lord. He's telling him all this distress, which of course the Lord already knows because God knows everything. While his spirit faints within him. So he's fearful. You know, he's afraid. And he's crying out to the Lord in his anguish, in his distress. And even after he says all, he goes, but you, O Lord, know my path. See, I have confidence in you. I may not see where this road is going, Lord, because right now I'm surrounded by all this hardship, all this trouble, all this anguish and all this stress. I can't even see the road in front of me clearly. But you know what, Lord? You know my path. So as long as I stay with you, Lord, as long as you stand beside me, as long as I keep you first in my life, I know that we can get through this together. Why? Because you are with me. I'm not doing this alone. David continues, on the way where I walk, they have hidden a snare to entrap me. Right? So literally, that's what's happening with David, but also spiritually. You know, when he's trying to walk in the way of the Lord, people are trying to put traps in his way to ensnare him. And the same thing is true of us. When we're trying to live in the Lord, in the heart of the Lord, in the life of the Lord, there are going to be people, there are going to be different things that happen in our lives, different events that they're going to try and push us away from the Lord. They're going to tempt us away from walking in his path. These snares that try to entrap us, these temptations and sometimes desires of the flesh that move us away from our path with God. David continues in verse 5. Look on my right hand and see. There is no one who pays me heed. No escape remains open to me. No one cares for my soul. So he's saying to the Lord, like, you know why I have to rely on you, Lord? You know why I have to give my life to you? You know why I have to stand strong in your love, Lord? Because no one else will. No one else will. He says, look, Lord, look and see. No one's paying me any attention. There's no escape for me. No one cares about me, but you do, Lord. But you see, this is a wonderful psalm of hope. David, in the situation that he finds himself in, running from persecution, fearful, cries out to the Lord. And he says, look around me, Lord. There's no one else here but you. So that's where I'm going to put my heart. That's where I'm going to put my trust, is in you.
You know, as we keep our, you know, musical mindset on this show on a regular basis, I love the word collaboration, because I feel like as we dive into these Psalms, and especially this one too, is David is asking God to collaborate with him on what's happening, on what he's facing, on, you know, going against his enemies, against the world, whatever it is. So at all times, and you probably know, have seen this too, when you talk to other musicians or artists, you're like, hey, what are you working on right now? Like, oh, I'm collaborating with some friends, or I'm collaborating with a new band or with a producer. Like, collaboration is the word that just sounds cool. Like, it's the thing, right? And we collaborate with our spouses. We collaborate with our friends and our coworkers. Like, let that be when say, hey, I'm in a collaboration with the Lord right now. Like, keep that when you think about where David is in this passage, because each day, so many of them being from David, of course, allows us that freedom to realize that he's just clearly crying out for a collaboration with God.
That's it. I found that even for myself, like, for example, doing the EW10 show. So I have 9 series on the network. The last, we'll see, 5, 6 out of those 9 have been with other people, right? And 5 of them with Father Brian Mullady. Yeah. And so I find that when you collaborate, you know, to me, I have a much more joyful experience. Sure. It's not just me being a talking head, but this is this beautiful collaboration and the dynamic and the chemistry. And because God created us and he knows us better than we know ourselves, when we open ourselves to collaboration, that's what makes it even more beautiful and deeper.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. The collaboration, you know, making music for the Lord. I love that. And so David continues in verse 6, to you I cry, O Lord. I have said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen then to my cry, for I am brought down very low. See, in this collaborative relationship, David's not afraid to share his heart with the Lord. You know, so many times, for example, in marriages, when marriages are struggling. Now, again, this is typical. This is not every situation, but typically when that marriage needs help, the husband is typically the one, again, not all cases, but typically the husband is the one who's reluctant to get help. And when I see men in that situation, I say to them, look, even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. So what makes you think you could do this by yourself? And David understands that. He says, Lord, I'm crying out to you right now. I'm not trying to figure this out myself. You know, we're collaborating here, Lord, right? I'm opening the depths of my, crying out to you, the depths of my being, from the depths of my heart. You are my refuge. You are my portion, O Lord, in the land of the living. Not a politician, not a government leader, not a guru, financial guru, not a life coach. No. It is you, Lord. You're my portion. You are the one listening to my cry. Why, Lord? Because even no one else is listening to me, you're listening to me because you understand my heart. You're listening with the ear to the your head in your ear is listening against the ear of my heart. You're listening to my heartbeat. You're listening to everything that's going on in my life. And Lord, I know that you will never abandon me and leave me. I love this. And David continues, Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of this prison, and I shall give thanks to your name. Around me the people will assemble because of your goodness to me. See, Lord, I know you're going to rescue me, right? From all those who pursue me, because it's your strength that's going to prevail. And Lord, when you do that, you're going to bring my soul out of this prison, and I shall give thanks to your name, right? I will give thanksgiving. And what's thanksgiving? The Todah sacrifice is Eucharist, Eucharistein in Greek, right? Around, and because of this, when people see what you've done in my life, Lord, they will assemble around me because of their goodness. They will see the works that we do and give glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're breaking open God's Word on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986.
Ride it high.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
I love when you get like a riff in your head and people are like, hey, what are you singing? I don't know. It's just there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of little funky beat going on here. That's the theme for this week.
It has become that, for sure. Can't stop the funk.
Yeah, that's right. You're listening to Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Grab your Bibles, because we're breaking open God's Word as we look at the readings for this weekend in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time. So we're about to break open God's Word. If you want to share your thoughts as we go through these biblical passages from Genesis and also from Mark's Gospel, would love to hear from the EWTN family today. Give us a call, 833-288-3986.
Of course, as we get a chance to check out great conversations happening at Podcast Central, remember there are great ones for you to download and enjoy. The most recent is the Magnificat. It's actually Catholic women and their walk of faith and their stories. There's all kinds of anything from marriage and restoration to abuse and restoration to healing and restoration. Like, it just goes on and on. But these faith-filled podcasts available for you when you check them out for free at EWTN Podcast Central. Just go to EWTN.com/podcast.
All right. So if you've got your Bibles out, well, and of course, if you're driving, you can just listen. Don't do anything that's going to put your life in danger, right? So, if you're able to have your Bibles, grab. We're going to take a quick look at one of my favorite passages from Genesis 3. So this is the first reading is Genesis 3, verses 9 to 15. So just summarizing here. So this is right after the fall, right? The Lord is a beautiful anthropomorphic image of our Lord strolling through the garden in the cool of the day. And he's looking and he can't find man. He can't find Adam and Eve. So he says, where are you? He calls out, where are you? And I think about this as the Lord is looking out on our world today. And he's seeing all of the different, he sees the wars that's going on. He sees the corruption in the government. He sees the attacks against the culture of life. He sees the transgenderism and the so-called redefinition of marriage and the violence and the teen suicide rates going up. And I think the Lord is looking out. People are saying to the Lord, well, how come you're not doing nothing, Lord? And the Lord is saying to us, where are you? I put you there to be my witnesses and examples to the world. Where are you? Why are you holding back from living your faith with passion and conviction? Why are you not standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves in the culture of life? Why are you backing down from this culture when they try to tell you they don't know what a man or a woman is or what marriage is? Why are we backing down? Why are we so afraid? Where are you? Right? So I think the Lord is asking that same question for us today. So now, what is the man's answer here? Well, Lord, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid, right? Now, it's not Yahweh in Hebrew here, which means honor, reverence, respect. This is the word they use for fear, like he's viscerally afraid. Why? Because he was naked. Now, remember, before the fall, they were naked and not ashamed. But after the fall, what's the first thing they notice? That they were naked, because now they see each other as objects for pleasure and gratification. They no longer see them the way God sees them. They're no longer looking at each other through God's eyes. So he's embarrassed and ashamed, so he hid himself. Then the Lord says, who told you you were naked? Oh, no, dude, the tree. We talked about this. What happened? Then what is the man's... Notice what his reply should have been. You know what, Lord? I messed up. You know, I fell for the tempt. I heard the devil talking to my wife, and I was like, you know, this sounds good to me, you know, and I didn't do anything to stop it. Instead of accepting responsibility, what does he do? The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit, so I ate it. You know, Lord, I was just minding my own business, and that woman who you put here, remember, I was by myself, and I was cool with that, and all of a sudden, you put her, oh, what happened when he said, bone of my bone? Flesh of my flesh. You know, therefore a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one. What happened to that? Oh, now we see when it comes to being held accountable by God, pass the blame on to someone else. It's not my fault, it's her fault. So the Lord goes to the woman. How could you do that? How could you do such a thing? What does the woman do? Follow her husband's lead. The serpent, he made me do it. So she don't take responsibility either. She passes on to the serpent, right? So now we get to the Lord says to the serpent. The serpent here is Nahash in Hebrew. So this word is also translated in other parts of the Old Testament as Leviathan, as the monsters of the sea. In one of the Psalms, it was the monsters of the sea or Leviathan. Same word. It's translated differently. So this is not just some little garden snake wrapped around a tree. That actually comes from medieval art. That's not what it means. This is a monster. And he says, because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the other animals and the wild creatures. On your belly you shall crawl, dirt you shall eat all the days of your life. And then we have the famous verse, often called the Proto Evangelium, or the first gospel. He says to the serpent now, to the serpent, I will put enmity. Now, the word actually there in Hebrew is ebal, which means hatred. So literally Hebrew says, I will put hatred between you and the woman. But I think the translator felt that word was too strong. So enmity means opposition to. So I will put enmity between you. Remember, he's talking to the serpent, you and the woman, between your offspring, or in Hebrew, it's seed, your offspring, and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel. Now, why is that verse so important? A couple of things. Who's this woman? We got to answer that question first. Who's the woman here? Of course, some people are thinking, well, it's Eve, because deacon, is only one woman. Right? So at this point, it's only one woman. So if he says it was you and the woman, he must be talking about Eve. How do we know that he's actually not talking about Eve, but he's talking about another woman? Right? That this woman is not Eve. And I would say, and the church would say, that's actually pointing toward the Blessed Virgin Mary. You're saying, whoa, hold on, Deacon. Whoa, time out. This is Genesis. This is the beginning of the world, the story of creation. Mary doesn't come to way, like a thousand years later, you know, in the New Testament. Well, how you get Mary here? It doesn't even say anything about Mary. But it's pointing to her. How do we know? Here's some clues for me. First of all, he's addressing the punishment is being addressed to two people, the snake and this woman. But here he's only talking to the snake. Now, if he was talking, if the woman was Eve, he'd be talking to both of them. The punishment would apply to both of them, but he's only talking to one of them. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Ace, you could appreciate this. You got kids. When in Oregon, it rains a lot during the wintertime. So we have a rule, no ball playing in the house. Okay. So I remember, I think we had just moved into this house that we're in now. The twins were about 4 years old, and they were playing ball in the house, what they're not supposed to do. Right. And I was upstairs. I heard a lamp crash, and I, what was that? I run downstairs. There's a lamp broken, and there's a ball on the floor, and they're the twins. I said, who did it? And what did they do? They pointed at each other. He did it. She did it. He did it. She did it. Who would I punish, Ace?
Both of them.
Both of them, right? Because both of them were now, if this punishment here in Genesis 3:15 says that I'll put enmity between you and the woman, but he's only talking to the serpent.
Yeah.
See, if the punishment involved both, he's talking to both. But the reason why he's only talking to the serpent, when this prophecy comes to fulfillment in the New Testament, the serpent will be the only one around that will see it come to fulfillment. Mm-hmm. So the woman can't possibly be Eve, right? That's the first clue. Let me go through these, Ace. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The second, he says the woman, right? Now, Jesus, at the wedding feast of Cana, right? And so here, Jesus has not started his public ministry yet. They're at this wedding feast in Cana. They ran out of wine. Mary is embarrassed for them. She says, they have no wine. And Jesus' answer to her seems pretty sarcastic, disrespectful, if you will.
Yeah.
Woman, what is this between you and me? Whoa, Jesus, he's just asking for some wine. Yeah. Dude, what's with the attitude, right? I mean, that's your initial thought.
Sure.
But no. See, the Blessed Mother asked him to do something supernatural, so he refers to her by her supernatural name, woman.
Hmm.
See?
Yeah.
Woman, what is this between you and me? And so what happens? You know, it doesn't say it, but I'm sure Mary gave him one of those mama looks. You know, one of those.
Oh, sure.
Your mama says, you need to do what I just told you.
That's exactly right.
And because why? Because the next thing you see is, okay, bring the jars with the water, fill them with water, take them to the steward. And it's not just any wine, it's the choice wine, right?
Yeah.
So that's another clue for me, woman. And let's look at another reference to woman at the foot of the cross. Jesus says to John, Jesus to Mary, woman, here is your son. And to John, here is your mother. Now, why? This reference to woman. Why does he say woman there? Again, Mary is acting as the archetype for the church. So what Jesus is doing, he's giving care. Yes, he's doing two things. He's giving care of his mother because he can't take care of her anymore because he's dying.
Sure.
But he's giving care of the church to the apostles.
Mm.
Supernaturally. Yeah. He's giving care of the church, of which Mary represents, giving care of the church to the apostles represented by John. The third, Revelation 12, verse 1. And a great portent appeared in heaven, and the woman, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars on her head. Who was that, Ace?
Sounds like Mary to me.
See, I mean, you're not even Catholic, and you know that's Mary.
But the thing that I love is that when you look at it from that perspective, it shows beginning, middle, end that all of it is encapsulated based on God's orchestration, his plan from the beginning.
Exactly. See, you just nailed the point there, Ace. Why? Because God did not set up his plan for salvation later on in the scripture. He sets it up right here at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
His plan for salvation is going to come through a family. He's basically saying to Satan, you used a woman to be a vehicle to bring sin into the world. I'm going to use the most blessed of all women to bring salvation into the world. Right? Yeah. He's saying, you tried to destroy the family. I'm going to use the holy family as a vehicle to bring salvation into the world. See, so it's beautiful what's going on here. So again, something to reflect on as you're hearing these readings in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Would love to hear your thoughts on all of this. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. Patterson has reached out to us on YouTube. He says, "Hey, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, I used to live in Bloomfield, New Jersey. That's just a couple exits up the parkway from where I grew up." He said, "And we talked before. Hope all is well. Question, how was the monastic life?" So I was in the monastery for a brief period as I was discerning of a call. Yeah, ever since I was about 9 or 10, I felt God was calling me. First, I thought to the priesthood and then to monastic life, and I very much enjoyed my time there. And in fact, that's kind of a wellspring, a foundation for everything that I'm doing now. So I draw from that wellspring of all the graces, the love for Eucharist, the love for adoration, the love for silence, the love for prayer. All of that was fostered in monastic life. And so I draw from that experience every day in the work that I'm doing today. So thank you, Patterson, for that wonderful call. If you want to collaborate with me, we talked about collaboration before, on these readings for this Sunday, 10 Sunday Ordinary Time, we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Let's move over to the Gospels now. So the Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 3. The first thing we see is that the people say to Jesus, "He's out of his mind." And the scribes that come from Jerusalem, they say, "He's possessed by Beelzebul. He's by the prince of demons, he drives out demons." So Beelzebul is not Satan, but it's another name for Satan, right? So he says, "Well, you're by the prince of demons, he drives out demons." So Jesus says to himself, "How can Satan drive out Satan?" Which makes sense. I mean, if Satan wants to take over, why would Satan drive out? That makes no sense. And so Jesus compares this whole thing is if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. If Satan is divided against himself, he cannot stand. Which makes perfect sense. So Jesus just takes away that whole argument there. But then we get to the part of the gospel here, I think that's pretty important. And he says at the end of this particular dialogue with the scribes, he says, "Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people will utter will be forgiven them." Okay? So Jesus, through the power of his death and resurrection, will take away the sins of the world. We pray that every Sunday. Agnus Dei qui toli peccata mundi. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But then he adds this. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. Whoa. Woo-hoo-hoo. Well, we got to take a look at that. That's powerful there. So what's going on here? See, we can freely choose. See, some people will teach that once saved, always saved. You can never lose your salvation, right? Because of what Christ has done for us, you can never lose salvation. But here's the thing. We have free will. And we can freely choose not to participate in God's life, even when we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us to the fullness of truth and goodness and beauty, right? So blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, who is leading us to the fullness of truth, will not be forgiven. So there's no limits to God's mercy, but anyone who deliberately refuses to accept his mercy by repenting rejects the forgiveness of their sins and the salvation offered by the Holy Spirit, right? So you know you've sinned, you know you need to be forgiven, but you deliberately refuse to accept God's repentance and God's mercy. This is a hardness of heart that can lead to final impenitence and eternal loss. That's scary right there. the sin against the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit is leading the truth, but your whatever it is, your pride, your anger, whatever is getting in the way of allow you to be free to receive and accept the mercy and the love that Christ is giving us in and through the Spirit. See, so God doesn't condemn or send anybody to hell. We choose hell. God is simply respecting our free choice to say no to him. You know, and our prayer should be that no one ever says no, right? That's why we say, in the priest says the words of Jesus in the consecration, this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant be offered for you and for many, not for all, for many. Why? Yes, it's open to all. Of course it's open to all. Salvation is open to every single person, but not everyone will accept it. That's why it says many. Not that that Christ is limiting his mercy to just a few. No, it's open to all, but not all will accept it. That's why we have to be diligent in our work of evangelization and our witness to God's love and mercy working in our lives. That's why we can't do anything that's going to contradict. Because when people will see us, if we're not living as witnesses to God's love and power, overcoming the stain of sin within ourselves, then that's going to scandalize other people. They won't be able to see the good works that they do and give glory to God. All right? So if you would love to hear your thoughts on all this, on the readings for this weekend, 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time, on Word of God Wednesday, on Beacon of Truth, I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. The number to join today is 833-288-3986, 833-288-3986. Just like Melissa has done, calling from Hampton, Virginia, listening on WEPV. And thank you so much for your call, Melissa. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi.
Hello.
I was inspired by your discussion on woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we're talking about
Genesis
curious. 3, yes.
Yes, you were talking about Genesis. And I've often wondered, and when I teach convalidation courses or other marriage courses, what if Eve would have stopped and said, let me go check with Adam, right? It would have changed the course of history if you check with your spouse. So what was God having Adam do, or what was Adam doing that prevented him from seeing? Because even Adam could have said, hey, Eve, there's something in the garden I don't understand. I'm going to go talk to God about it. And I just was curious,
Melissa,
what your feedback would be on that.
That is a great question. I love that question. And here's the answer. So you have to go back a few verses in Genesis 3 to answer your question, Melissa. So if you ever have a Bible, go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, okay? It says, and the woman, so first of all, why does Satan go to the woman first? The woman is the very heart of God's love. A woman has a special intimacy with the Holy Spirit as a life giver and the life bearer, right? Don't we pray every Sunday? Credo Espiritus Sanctus Dominum et Vivificantem in the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Women, by the very nature of how they're created by God, can participate in that life-giving power of the Holy Spirit in a way that no man can even imagine. So even if a woman never has a child, she becomes a sister, a nun. By the very nature, which she's reminded of every single month, that she can participate in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Satan went after her first, not because she was weaker than the man or less than the man. That's ridiculous. He went after her because she is the bearer of life. Satan is the author of death, so he goes after the one who gives life, and he lies to her. First of all, he asked her a question to confuse her. Her answer is, we may eat of any tree of the garden, but the tree of fruit in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat, because the day you eat of it, you shall die. Then the serpent says to the woman, you will not die, because he's lying to her. He's a liar. He lies to her. God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. You don't need God. You're your own God. So here we go, Melissa. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes and was desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. Now, it doesn't say where the husband was at the time, does it? No. So some people interpret this to say, well, she took the fruit, she ate it, and she went, I have to share this with my husband. So she used her feminine wiles. She went, first of all, she had to go find him. Then she went and tempted him. And then she gave him some of the fruit, and, you know, he ate it. Wrong. Now, you have to go back. When Satan says, you will not die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God. Melissa, it's plural in Hebrew. Plural. So if I was in a room with people, Melissa, and I said, hey, you, who would I be talking to?
Y'all.
Well, hold on. How do you know I'm not, if you're in that room, Melissa, how come you, if I say, hey, you, how do you know I'm not just talking just to you?
You don't.
You don't. It's the context, right? Now, in other languages, they have different words for you. In Spanish, it's two. In for one person, or ustedes for you, plural, for more than one person. Same thing in Hebrew. It's plural, means he's talking to both of them. That means he was right there, and he did nothing to stop. Because what? He heard what was being said. He said, that sounds good to me too. And so he took. Now notice this, Melissa. It wasn't until they both ate that they both fell. Remember, verse 7 says, then the eyes of both were opened. So the fall didn't happen until they both ate. Why, Melissa? They were both one flesh. So after they both ate, that's when the fall occurred. That makes sense?
Makes sense. Thank you.
You are most welcome. And thank you for joining us on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. So glad to have you with us. Tomorrow, we're going to have Sonia Corbett, my good friend, talking about resting the inner Sabbath and healing. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until then, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.